Jesus said, you know, he's talking to his own disciples, you know that the rulers, archontes, of the Gentile nations, of the Gentiles, love to lord it over. They love to exercise lordship or dominion. Okay, and that word is that katakureo, which means under lordship. In other words, they love to dominate the people. And I said before that what that really is just high taxes. Excessive taxation. And today, you know, America started out with almost no tax. As a matter of fact, America started out with no taxes. Okay? But after a while, they got a few, and then they got a few more, and they got a few more. And pretty soon, everything was taxed.
Yeah.
That's the way it is now. And so, we've gone the way of all flesh. We've gone back to tyranny, despotism. And so, what does this have to do with Jesus? Well, I don't know. Jesus is teaching it. He's teaching this about politics. Why did he get into a political thing? Because it has nothing to do with going to heaven. But it has everything to do with the fruit. If you're the light and you're the salt, it should have an impact on the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So the foundation of all government, all economy, and all society is the church of the living God. Or the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know how to say this. But it's so clear to me in the whole of Scripture that what I just said is true.
Yeah.
And yet, I would say no one's teaching it. Yeah. I don't know. I hope somebody is. But I would say I'm clear. Very clear. Extremely clear. Let's say this was the foundation. This chair right here. Then these other three chairs, which would be society itself. And then it would be the economic systems that we have. And then, finally, it would be the political. I'll put those off a little bit. Because this would be the last fruit. Because these are in order. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you get the foundation right, which is religious liberty. In other words, why do I have to have religious liberty? Have to. Why do I have to? Why will I die over this, physically, if I need to? Because if you don't have religious liberty, you can't obey God.
Yeah.
What if he tells me to do something and the government says you can't? It's better to obey God than man. So I'll obey God. I'm doing it. I'm not just talking about it. I've done it for years and years and years. And so when you obey God, when you do what God says first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So here it is. And this is not just any old kind of religion, though. This is just religious liberty, that's general. That could be Buddhist and Hindu and so on. But if you get the true religion, you'll have just government on the end. Because there'll be prosperity and free enterprise on the third seat. Because society will have self-governing free individuals who have the freedom to worship God. So if worship God is first, religious liberty, then you'll get all the other liberties and justices and immunities and privileges and so on for a just government. But today we have an unlimited government because we don't have any of those things because religious liberty is no longer in the foundation. You say, yes, they are, Pastor. No, they're not. I won't explain it. I'm just simply saying that churches are all taxpayers in the United States. All churches are taxpayers. And they're just exempt if you render unto Caesar what belongs to God. And those, if you worship Caesar, just like you just said, if you worship Caesar, then you robbed God. So the reason there are high taxes today is because Caesar's playing God. And you are the fault. Because you didn't render unto God what belongs to God. And he wants all the holy things. He wants all the spiritual things. He wants all the eternal things. And he refuses for you to give Caesar any of that. You cannot render to Caesar holy things. They don't belong to him. He only gets common things. He only gets secular things. He only gets temporal things. He's a limited guy. But now you have an unlimited government in chair 4 up there. because, I'll get these chairs out of the way, and I don't want my illustration to fall down. So, because God has set it up this way from the beginning of the world, and don't think the world will end until this is accomplished. So I'm just letting you know that part of the fruit of true religion is just government. I'm going to say it again. Part of the fruit of true religion is just government. It doesn't get you into heaven. It doesn't get you into heaven. But I want to see heaven on earth, which means it comes down first into my heart, then into my soul, then into my body, then into my family, then it affects society, then it affects the economy, and then it affects, last of all, the political economy. The political economy or house is built upon then an economic liberty and prosperity, which is based upon no kings, no aristocrats, no special classes. Today, we're a class society again. Okay, we're socialists and communists and whatever else we are. Because we lost Jesus, we lost God, we didn't obey God. It has nothing to do with the bad guys taking it. It has to do with us abdicating. We didn't worship God. Same problem with the Jews. If the Jews had worshiped God the way he intended, not with works, but with faith, with the faith of Abraham, if they had worshiped God by faith, not based on their goodness, but on God's mercy and power and majesty and glory, then none of their problems would have ever come to them. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, I'll give you everything else. I'll just give it to you as a free gift. So you can't get a good government. It can only be given. You can't get a good economy. It can only be given. You can't get a good society. It can only be given. So what you want to do is do what God says, obey God. And how can you do that? Well, it has to start with faith. But a faith that's active in love. Love, love, love. So love society, your neighbor as yourself. Love your family. Take care of them and the marketplace as well, still including your neighbor. So, therefore, every business should be put on a free basis, free enterprise. The British, as you know, were the opposite of us. Religiously, first of all, they only had an Anglican church, whereas in America, we had everything. We had, you know, people that were Anglican, people that were high, low, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, Jewish, you know, and so on and so forth. We just had a whole bunch. So we disagreed with them. We said every man has a right, an indefeasible, a natural, indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. So that was a different idea. The Europeans understood the concept, but they never implemented it. So the Americans were the first. Now, actually, there was a little start, but I'm going to correct it. A little start in Holland. Holland actually did set up a free republic where people were tolerated. But the Americans did not just tolerate other religions. We insisted that they all be equal. Meaning, not to God, but meaning to man. And as long as you had some Christians, that would work. If you didn't have any true, real, mature Christians, it wouldn't work. So, true religion is that religion which actually produces all that. It doesn't just get you into heaven. It also has love. It isn't just faith that I believe God loves me. But it actually means you will absolutely transform not only your own self, not only your family, but also all of society, all of economics, and all of the political order. Now, will this program ever work? Absolutely. I totally believe in it. Well, is it working now? No. Well, is there any chance for it? None. Unless God didn't lie. So the whole thing is not, can I produce it? Can I bring it forth? Can I write a book on it? I am writing one. But that's not important. I'm done, basically. I'm going to get it printed up. But the whole idea is not just to proclaim it, but it's to do it. So... Is there hope for Texas? Is there hope for America? Is there hope for the world? Yeah, of course. Why? Because Jesus made a promise. And I'm building everything not on our ability to obey, but his ability not to lie. Amen. When he said, I will build my church, and swore an oath, raised his right hand, I will build my church. That was a sworn oath. And then he said, and the gates of hell, those that have high taxes, government darkness or government injustice or government oppression or government tyranny or government despotism all comes from not obeying this little pattern that I'm showing you. And Jesus is speaking about that. Oh, I wish I had hours and hours to go through these three parables that I'm reading to you. So, listen carefully to the parable again. Because I'm just telling you, this is a symptom. This is a symptom. This is a symptom. This is a symptom. These don't go to heaven. None of these three go to heaven. But God loves the world, not just his own people. But his people are the salt. They are the light of this world. And therefore, indirectly, you see that they had a chance to accept Jesus when they saw our fruits. When men see your good works, they'll give glory to your Father in heaven. Buddhism can't do it. Hinduism can't do it. Judaism can't do it. Catholicism cannot do it. I'm sorry. None of those systems have ever produced what I'm talking about, which is liberty and justice for all. So it's not just a concept. It's a concept that the Americans, and Benjamin Franklin was so correct when he said to Mary, who asked him, "Sir," this was on the July 4 celebration, "Sir, what kind of government did you give to us?" And here is his answer. "A republic, not a democracy, not a monarchy, not an aristocracy. A republic, if you can keep it." In other words, it's up to the people. In other words, there's every reason this thing will fall apart. And in fall apart, it has done. We are watching it. We're watching it. We're just kind of passive. Awful. But so what? Where's the problem? It's not political. Political problems are not political. Economic problems are not economic. Social problems are not social. Everything is religious based. You get religion wrong, you get everything wrong. You get religion right, you get everything right. Amen. So bad religion, all other religions but ours, bad religion produces nothing because it doesn't go into the heart. Therefore, it doesn't go into the soul. Therefore, it doesn't come out in the body. Therefore, there is no love. And if there's no love, none of these happen. So this is love thy neighbor as thyself. But again, that's just the symptom, the fruit of it. But out of every nation will come many. And today we are as ripe as ever for just government. Because we're as ripe forever for Jesus to keep his word, his promise, which he said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's the kingdom of God in truth. The Jews had the kingdom of God, but they failed. Why? Easy. They based it on works instead of by faith. Instead of meeting the law with the faith of Abraham, they met the law and said, "We will do it." That is so silly. How many know that people are no good? Amen. How many know that people are no good? How many know that even Christians aren't any good? Amen. Christians are no good. How many know that even mature Christians are no good? Okay. How many know that you will never be good? Amen. Only God is good. Now, I am radical, radical, radical. And I'll tell you, everyone hates this message. They do. They hate this message. Well, there must be something we can do. Like what? What? What can you do? Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. And not only that, Jesus did everything.
Thank you, Jesus.
He did everything. It'd be different if he said, "Well, I did my part, now it's your turn." That's what everybody thinks. There's no theology on it. They just believe that. They just hate the idea that only God is good. They have a little bit of pride in themselves, a little bit inordinate pride. I can help out. At least I can cooperate with God. At least I can yield to the Holy Spirit. At least I can repent. At least I can believe. No, you can't. It's all God. That's right. To God be the glory.
Amen.
These are hard things, but to me they're ABC. Simple. Because it's the last days. And the Lord's about to come back. And I'm still alive because this has got to be not just preached and teached. This actually has to be done.
Yeah. Praise
to actually change things. And I think it's right here in Texas.
Yeah.
He's going to be your assistant.
Now listen, you know that the rulers of this world, just as Jesus talking about politics, you know that the rulers of this world are contests. You know that they exercise dominion over the people that they serve. So they're not servants, they're masters. But that's wrong. And Jesus is about to say that. And you know that the great ones also, that is the hoi megaloi, the great ones of the earth, emperors, presidents, big ones, you know, top people. They also exercise lordship, authority over. They want to be gods. They want to be worshipped. That's where your high taxes come from. Because if you don't render to God his dues, you will render to Caesar. What you owed to God. And so Caesar today can collect it because nobody can stop them because they look scary and awful. But I remember what Jesus said. I'd laugh at them, laugh in their face. And I tell them too. I'm not just saying this. I actually tell them. No. You will lose. You're going to be destroyed. Because you have not served the people. You didn't do what our founders did. I don't know about the rest of the world. Let the rest of the world do what it wants. But here in Texas, we believe this is one state under God. We believe that God should rule. We believe in nature. Nature is God. The laws of nature and nature's God. Okay, the laws of nature are reason. The law of nature's God is revelation. This country was not founded on enlightenment reason. It was founded on a combination of enlightenment reason in everybody else and in revelation from us. You could not even imagine freedom unless you have the revelation. Freedom does not come from reason. Reason can imagine freedom. And it could even build something that looked like, sounded like, and even could start out to act like liberty and justice for all. But in a few weeks, years, and months, it's over. Because it can't make a lasting foundation. Because men are men. And unless you're born again, it isn't going to work. But if you had a little bit of leaven, a little bit of salt, a little bit of light in the world, that'd be enough to dispel the darkness. Did you know that? Yeah. You don't have to have a lot of Christians, just a handful. Jesus was one person. All alone. Amen. And he saved the whole world.
Hallelujah.
And he made the only possibility for a just government came with Jesus. He even said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. That's yours. You can have all that. My kingdom is not of this world. Oh, if it were, my servants would fight. They'd have a sword so that the Jewish people couldn't turn me over. But as you can see, I have no sword. I have no army. I have no bank account. I have nothing going for me because I came to bear witness to the truth." And Pilate said, "What's truth? What's truth? Who knows what truth is? That's up in the heaven somewhere." No. I'm bringing truth on the earth. I'm the one. I'm bearing witness to the truth. I am the truth. So Pilate was kind of like, "I don't find any crime in you." Do you see, just government never finds any crime in a true Christian. Against such there's no law. If you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. If you have all those, no, there's no law against them. You can love your neighbor. No one will stop you. There's no law that says you cannot love your neighbor. And there's no law against worshiping God. There's only you. You are the reason why we're in trouble. You are the only reason. And you're the only one that can do anything about it. I was telling Peggy in the car. Every nanosecond of your life, you're making a decision. Every nanosecond of your life. This is what makes you different than animals and everybody else. They don't. Rocks don't make decisions. Flowers don't make decisions. Even animals don't make decisions. They're instinctually, biologically determined. But you actually make a decision. You have free choice. They don't. Nobody else does. It may look like it, but ain't. You are the only one, every second of your life, every nanosecond, that quick, you're making a decision whether you're God or God is God. That's all. There's no other decision in the world. Either you're God or God is God. In other words, any word that comes out of your mouth, did God tell you to say that? Or did you decide to say that? Or every reaction you have, emotional, intellectual, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Desires, imaginations, and so on. Are you either submitted to God or you're God? That's all. So the deification of man is the only other religion in the world. That's a false religion. Call it secular humanism, call it Baalism, call it, you know, masonry. I don't really care what you call it. It's all based on human goodness, as though man were perfectible. But I just told you that that's not possible. Man only is not perfectible. He's never even been good. Nor can he be. He's a hypocrite and a liar and a deceiver, because inside his heart is black.
Wow.
And on the outside, he's pretending like God told him to do it. But God never said, give me an imperfect work and I'll accept it. God doesn't want imperfect work. Jesus is the only one that ever did the perfect work. He said, my will is to do my Father's will. My meat is to do whatever he says. I want to say what he wants me to say, do what he wants me to do. And you are his followers now. That is not worship, by the way. The worship is not that. The worship is that God came and showed us mercy and then agreed to transform us. But the transformation of us on this earth is not to get you into heaven, it's to get others in heaven. He's not coming to change you so that you'll get to go to heaven. You're just changed by beholding him. But the changes then affect these three realms here on this earth. Heaven on earth, heaven on earth, heaven on earth. Not just in the church. Not just in religion. After all, the world is loaded with false religion. Even Christians are full of false religion because they're trying to do God's will in their own strength, in their own wisdom, in their own power, in their own majesty and glory. And when they do a good work, they want praise for it.
Amen.
No, they really want worship. They don't just want you to praise them. They want worship. Am I not awesome or what? Everybody wants that. You can't say, well, I don't want that, pastor. Yes, you do. If you have, do you have any flesh left? I don't think I have any. Now you're a double liar. You still have flesh. I don't care who you are, you still have flesh. And God reminds you of that every day by the power of the Holy Spirit to show you that so it humbles you. And you don't go into inordinate self-worship and adulation. I think another thing I could point out is that there's not many people that really want to worship you, no matter how nice you are. They're just playing a game too. And their game is that whether they have a brand new heart, and they're Christians, and then they act hypocritically because their soul isn't lined up with it, or even their body and their life isn't lined up with it, you're still not mature. You're still not perfected. Just men made perfect. You're still not just men made perfect. You're just, but you're not made perfect until you're made perfect. So that, and here's how you can tell. The world will actually be limited in its power. The king will actually be a servant rather than a dictator. In a high tax thing, you'll have moderate taxes, just taxes, small taxes. And we've had that in this country. It started out that way. The Articles of Confederation, when they were drawn up, no taxes. The federal or the national government, the big government, over all the little states or little countries. They gave no power to that government to raise taxes, and that's why they got in trouble. With no power whatsoever, the government just fell apart. So the Articles of Confederation never worked because all the power was in Dan. Let's say Dan was Rhode Island and you were Massachusetts. We would say, okay, we need $1 million. So you give 10,000, you give 10,000. But then no states wanted to do it. So it didn't work out because they didn't have any power to tax. So then, when they got the power to tax, they said, now behave yourself, though. Don't overuse this. And, of course, they've overused it. So that there are tariffs, and There are customs, and there are excise taxes on whiskey and every piece of food you raise. And you know, it goes all the way through your process of, you know, the banana starts out here, and pretty soon it's something else and so on. All those value adds. So we have so many taxes now, even the tax people don't know how many taxes we have.
Yeah.
Right? It's because they're taxing everything. Income, land, you know, they say, should we have an income tax or a land tax? Or should we have a poll tax? Should we have this? You know, they come up with all these taxes, excise taxes, da 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 da. But the truth is, we're taxed to death now. And so, in the Old Testament, I don't know if you remember this, but Samuel, he said, the people want a king, God. And he said, that wouldn't be good. But I don't think you'll be able to stop them. If they want one, they're going to get one. So I'm going to allow it. But here's the thing. They'll end up, tell them this. You'll end up being 10% of your income. In other words, the same amount you owe to God, you're going to owe now to Caesar. So the king has to have, you know, horses and palaces and retinues and administrators and, you know, armies. And, you know, they have to have all that stuff. That's just going to be a killer. 10% of your income. Would that we had that today. And God called that heinous. God called that unjust. God called that the height of evil. It's nothing compared to where we are today. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm just telling you how God operates. Because I totally believe in God. I don't believe in government. I don't believe in our government. And I believe it's all my fault. I don't believe it's their fault. I don't believe it's the economy fault. I don't believe it's the society fault. I don't even believe it's religion fault. I just believe it's us, the church. We're the only fault. So, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles love to lord it over them. They love to dominate them. They love to exercise dominion and lordship over the people. High taxes. That's what darkness is. In the Bible, when you read about darkness, that's what it's talking about. The darkness. Now, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. That meant Israel was under Roman dominion and had no hope of going anywhere. And their taxes were nothing. They were just a couple days' wages. Today, you got to work 3 or 4 months. Or something. Whatever it is. And of course, the rich have figured out a whole bunch of ways to escape it. And the poor just don't pay anything. And the tax evaders are almost half of the people. So there's only you and me paying. Don't you think that's funny? And that's your payment for not worshiping God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself, and you'll never correct it. And so what's happening right now is, God deliver us. No, He will not deliver you. He wants you to render unto Him what's due. Then Caesar will only take a small, small amount. All we need from government is defense. Amen. Just defend all of Jim's liberties and his life and his property. Just defend him. And then everybody else equally. Huh, that's all. That's the whole purpose of government. The purpose of government is not to have welfare states and redistribute wealth and all the stuff we're now doing. That's why now you're paying for everything and it'll never end. And by the way, the Federal Reserve, you've probably heard of that, they only print enough money so you can pay the interest, but never enough money so that anyone could ever pay the principal. So you know how they adjust the thing, and they got it away from the Congress where it belonged under the Constitution, but they got it on themselves to say, look, government, we'll make a deal with you. And the government did this. Is, we'll always supply you with money. It don't matter if it's inflated or deflated. Doesn't make any difference. We'll turn on the spigot just enough to make sure you always are okay. Forget the people. And it was done in such a tricky, treacherous way and so on. But whose fault is it? Ours. Watch what Jesus said. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them. And the great ones exercised dominion over the people and so on and so forth. But it shall not be so among you. So it wasn't after Buddhists. It wasn't after Hindus. It wasn't after Muslims. It wasn't after Catholics or Jews. It was after his own people, us. Just the true ones. Just the ones that actually believe it's by faith. And not just believe it's by faith, but actually faith active in love. Because faith without love isn't faith. That's just a profession. It's not really a confession of faith. But what God wants is to change the whole world at this late date. Don't you think God's a little bit late on his program? And thank God he sent me at this last moment.
Yeah.
Y'all can see how wise God was to raise up someone radical like me. I love it. I love my job. You get nothing. You don't get any rewards for this, by the way. You just get hatred, misunderstanding. I love it. That's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want. I'm prepared for that. I like it. I like it. Biggest problems in the world. Give me all the biggest problems. I want all of them. Because I am is a believer. Jesus said, you know, don't worry, if you'll seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. Oh, well, then just tell me all the problems. Oh, you got a problem? Political problem? It's not a political problem. It's an economic problem. You're looking for revenue. I know what you're looking for. Kings always look for revenues. Yeah. How can you wage a war in order to protect your trade unless you have plenty of revenues, which means taxes on the people, and therefore you fleece the people whose liberty you were supposed to protect? So the whole thing is crazy. Did y'all see that? King Henry wasn't interested in wives. You know, he was looking for wives for some successor. His real passion was money. The first thing he did when he got rid of the Pope was not to get Catherine of Aragon so that the marriage would be annulled. Then he could get in with someone else, have Elizabeth and stuff. No, his whole thing was immediately, as soon as he got rid of the Pope, he grabbed all the church lands. Now it was all in his hands personally. So he figured out a way, you know, all I want is revenue and I don't even need to have taxes. I don't even need to do all those things. I just simply grab all that stuff because the church is where all the money is. Did you know religion has a lot of money? Whether it's Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever else, those priests know how to gather it up, collect it. Fill up the till. It's for God. You know. So, don't you love it? That's why I didn't preach on money ever. Except today. Today's going to be... I don't ever preach on it. Why? Yeah, because it said, you know, turn to God, look to God. I'm not trying to manipulate or move people or inspire people or anything. I'm just telling you, say whatever God says, and I just say it. I don't take myself seriously. I don't take you seriously. I don't care if you like it or you don't like it. It doesn't make any difference. I believe God can't lie. So that's the whole issue. Do you believe every minute of every second you're making one decision? I'm God. He's God. That's it. That's it. Just boils down to, you want to go to bed when you want to go to bed? You're God. You want to eat what you want to eat? You're God. You're worried about clothing? You're God. You know, or you can just, you know, trust all that stuff to God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Worship me. Give me the praise. Give me the thanksgiving. Give me the adoration. All I want is worship and the service that follows from it. That's what we call free exercises. So every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. So worship to God by conscience and all of its free exercises, which means anything that God said to do. So therefore, I don't care what the king says. I don't care what the government says. I don't care. I'm going to do what God says. Why? Because he said that. Seek first the kingdom. And what happens to me? I don't care. It doesn't matter. In the past, they killed you. They, you know, took all your stuff, you know, banished you. They did all kinds of things, put you on a torture rack, and so on and so forth. Well, so what? I mean, Al-Qaeda's doing it today. They just learned it from Christians. Christians did it before, the Inquisitions and all this stuff. So it could all come back again. I imagine the Antichrist is going to do some of those things, and I'm sure I'll be the first one to get it. Oh! I haven't put you up yet. Oh, okay. I was already screaming. Christian man of faith, you know, what do you think now? I'll be a Buddhist, really. I'll pay the tax. Do y'all understand? Because I don't have any faith in Jim. I have faith in Jesus. So, Jesus, you know, the issue isn't deliver me from the wicked. The issue is, did I worship you? I can do it secretly. Did you know you could actually hum on the inside?
Mm-hmm.
They can rip out your tongue and you can still hum. Y'all don't see the humor of this. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is, are you or are you not the beloved of God?
Amen.
Do you worship him and him alone?
Yes.
He said, you shall worship only God and serve only God. So worship to God and service to God, he doesn't need it. So your service goes to society, the economy, to the political house. So service, love, is for others. It's for the believers, but it's also for everyone else too. There's no difference. It doesn't matter. Once you start loving God, you're going to do all of that. Now, this is going to take me about 2 years to get through, but I'll see what I'm doing. Whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant, your deacon. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your slave, doulos, diakonos, and doulos. Notice, you want to be like Jesus? And then here's how he ends it up. For I am among you, not as one to be served, but to serve. Diakonos. I'm the deacon. I'm the doulos. And therefore, if you want to be great, if you want to be something in the kingdom of God, you must be a servant. You must not care for yourself. Why should I care? Why would anyone care whether the church has enough money or not, or whether, you know, anything? I just don't care. I'd never tell you. It wouldn't make any difference. I'd never tell you. God knows. Let me know that God knows. The only thing God wants me to do is do what he said. Just, do you believe me? I'm not a doer. I'm a doer only because I'm a believer. And because I believe the earth is round, I'm not going to, you know, be afraid to sail my boat out over the horizon as though some monster would swallow me up. But if you believed it was flat, whatever you believe is going to dictate what you're going to want and do. And so if I thought the earth was round as Columbus did, then he thought, if I sail far enough, I'll get to India. And sure enough, he found it right here. Only he called everybody Indians, but they weren't. They weren't really Indians. Isn't that funny? And by the way, did you know that Columbus never came to America? Never. Just before he got here, in 1492 when he sailed the Blue, just before he got here, a flock of birds flew over. And he was heading right for America. He would have had, you know, maybe Georgia or, you know, some of eastern seaboard states above Florida. He was just heading straight for it, and all of a sudden he saw those birds flying over, and he said, well, there's birds, there's land. And so he turned his boat, never saw the American continent, ever. Didn't even know it was there. The whole thing just, it went down to, you know, Cuba, and went down to, you know, Dominican Republic, and he went to all those places down in the Caribbean. That's as far as he went. He made three trips, same place. Because he didn't know that America was right here. And yet now we call him the one that discovered America. He didn't. Discovered the Americas, maybe. But Amerigo Vespucci, you know, that's where we get our name here. But actually, in 1498, there's another guy came down the Hudson, Henry Hudson. So he's the guy that planted the flag. Otherwise, it would have been a Spanish. It would have been a Portuguese. It would have been some other nation, because they were the big ones in those days. But it turned out to be a British. And that was Henry VIII's father, Henry VII. And he sent him down and said, you know, see if you can find that. Somebody's saying they're finding stuff. Just go down there and sail. So he did. He sailed across and he found America. So he was the first one to plant a flag and then set up a little community. You have to have a community if you're going to claim it. All right. Now, Peggy's rising. That means I'm not going to get very far. Even as, verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So, did you know that Jesus Christ died for all your sins? Amen. How many know when you wake up each morning, you think to yourself, thank God Jesus Christ forgave all my sins?
Amen.
No, you don't. You do not think that. You're thinking, I need to brush my teeth. I need to, you know, I need to get to work. I need to, what bill do I have to pay to Caesar today? You're not at all thinking of your sins being forgiven. Now, you owe God worship, but not under the law. It has to be free. It has to be voluntary. Ah, there's your guilt right there. That you worshiped him outwardly, but not inwardly. You worship him with half your heart, but not wholehearted. He doesn't want half-hearted worship. Oh, thank God. There's Roxy giving me some half-hearted worship, and Hugo's giving me the other half. Thank God I got worship. No, he wants wholehearted from everybody. With all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Do you see that? Love God and the neighbor. There it is. There's the whole thing. Now, everything, I could read through the whole book of any, I could read all of it, but I could read through the whole book of Matthew and show you how everything that Jesus said is right here. This is everything. Everything he said. Because this is the key right here. Worship to God. I don't know how much time you spend each day in worship, which means get out of yourself. You get out of space and time. Get out of your agenda. You have to set aside, get up early. I was up at 3 today. But just get up early and worship God. Get up to bless his holy name, to confess your sins, to get purified, to keep gazing at him, to read his word, to study it in the Hebrew and in the Greek and so on. I love it. I love doing it. But it's my job. It's not your job, but it's my job. But you should at least get up at 4. And stop sleeping in so much. You know, you got good sleep. Well, at least you got good sleep before you went to hell. But no, you should really be excited every day when you wake up to think, Jesus Christ cannot lie. And this whole world is nothing. Nobody can do anything in this world, politically, economically, socially, or even religiously, unless it lines up with the purposes of Almighty God. Wow. I love that. I love that. So you now see the foundation? And these are the things that are built on that foundation. Nature and nature's God. All right, there it is. And so that's why we're the first government in the world to explicitly build it. But, of course, the British believed in it too. They just could never get rid of their kings, and they could never get rid of their you know, I told you they had a mercantilistic thing, which is heavy taxation, heavy customs, heavy everything, and especially on the colonies. So George Otis, you know, he saw that, and he said, you cannot use government to take away our essential liberties, our fundamental rights and liberties as free Englishmen. So that guy, you know, he came up with that idea. That's what started the whole thing. And then people started to think, well, I wonder if he's right. Hey, yes, we're free Englishmen. What about the Magna Carta? And we were the ones that thought about it. And after Magna Carta, there was the Petition of Right, 1628. And after that, 1687, 88, there was another thing. And that was the Bill of Rights. Ah, that's where America got all its ideas. We weren't like the British, who were now moving beyond all that, becoming modern. We were the ones that went backward. Everybody else went forward. Where are they today? Nowhere. Where are we today? Nowhere. Why? Because we followed Europe. We followed Britain. We followed them. Why? Because we refused to give God the glory. We refused to worship him. So let's start a revival right here today.
Hallelujah!
I'll tell you, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
I know this is not the most popular spot to come to. We're still a puny little group. But how do you know how God works? Amen. Jesus was just one person. How do you know that the best hasn't been saved to the last? Now, okay, let's say I'm wrong. That's easy. But let's say I'm right. At least I have an understanding of everything.
Yeah.
I know exactly what economy can't do and can do. Exactly what nature is and isn't. Exactly what society should look like, what economy should look like, and what just government should look like. Amen. But I don't care about any of those. Because if I'll just seek this one, yeah, I'll get all those thrown in for nothing. Yeah. So, therefore, today, everybody's scared. I can tell you, everybody's trembling because they know there's no leaders with no knowledge. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to stop anything. They just let it happen. They're all slaves. And you know, so many of them are just gathering as much as they can before the thing falls apart, so at least they'll fall apart slower. That's Dallas, by the way. Dallas is still, you know, trying to soak up every crumb they can possibly get. But I'll tell you something. Without what I just said, you can't have anything. This is the only way to preserve everything, is to have a God. Submit to God. If you just do what he says, he'll give you everything else. Wouldn't you like to just try it all on your own?
Amen.
You could start with yourself. Be a one-man band. You know. Woo-hoo! Why? Because you have no idea the power of one person, one soul, submitted unto God. I know we have believers, but it isn't enough to be a believer. I've taught this over and over again. I want heaven on earth. How do you get that? It's not my idea. It's Jesus' idea. That when men see your good works, though, give glory to the Father in heaven. That's what I want. I want men, just wicked men, nasty men, tyrants, bad guys. They'll give glory to the Father in heaven when they see the church being the church. Not the church loving the world. When they see your good works, that is that we love one another, that we love God, and we love our neighbor. When they see that, they'll go, that's the truth. And we could have a huge revival right now. A spiritual revival, I think it'd be a good idea. But not like the other ones. Not just, you know, change some words here and there. Kind of clean up some morals here and there. No. Exactly what it says. What's the kingdom of God all about? Where is the kingdom of God? Nobody's even seen it. We just talk about it, but where is it? The kingdom of God is within you. Start right here. So who's ready today? Who's ready? I want to be like that, Pastor. I want to be like that. I want to go all the way with Jesus, only I can't do it, but I can agree to it. I can submit to it. I mean, I can believe in it, then submit to it, and then let him do it all. To God be the glory. Hey, what could be easier than to let God be God? What could be harder than to try to be God yourself? How many know that your brain is limited? Your emotions are limited. Your desires and wants are limited. The only thing unlimited is God. He can do whatever he wills, whatever he wants. And I know exactly what he wants. I'm not confused about it. I was reading through Job this morning again. Remember Job? A few years ago we did Job. Oh, I love that. Too powerful. But he came to the end of himself. See, he came into a zero place where he had all the theology, but it wasn't working. Like, how can I explain this? You know, I've lost my children. I've lost my wealth. I've lost my reputation. I've lost everything. And then, what am I supposed to do? I mean, just show me my sin. I don't see it. I don't think I did anything wrong. Then the thing that he feared came upon him. You know, all the stuff he feared. He feared, remember when he was sacrificing for his kids? He said, you know, just in case they've done a sin, a secret one or something, I'm going to make a big sacrifice for them. How many know that sacrifices do nothing? How many know that sacrifices do nothing? The sacrifice God wants is praise.
Amen.
Because of his ability, capacity to do everything. He doesn't want you to do anything. You are nothing. You were made out of nothing. You're just dust. So, the best has been saved to the last. So, we're about to have a revolution, or whatever, a revival or something or other. Revival I like because it kind of, revolution takes you back, you know, like a wheel turns one revolution. It goes from spot A back to spot A. And so, that's going back to the original. But a revival is after you're dead. And that's probably more appropriate for us. We need to die. We need to die. Yes. Not just to your sins, chair one, as in my old seven chair thing. Not just chair two, where you're a hypocrite and a liar and phony and fake. You can't get rid of either of those. Let God just love you here as a wicked, nasty sinner. This is no longer politics now. I'm back to chair five, right? Seven. Now, look, this one needs to be forgiven. I'll repent in chair three. But then, chair four leads to chair five, which gets rid of this one. So, this one is forgiven here. That's my deeds are all forgiven, chair three and four. But this one needs chair five, because my goodness needs to die too. That is me. Me. I need to die. What does that mean? Get caught up in the worship of God. Did you know that's your death? When you fall in love with God, you're dead. But when you're in love with yourself, you're alive. If you keep your life, you lose it. If you lose your life, you keep it. Isn't that weird? So, the best has been saved to the last. Now, I don't believe I've even started my ministry. I really don't.
Wow.
I know I'm going to live to 120.
At least.
I don't worry about that. I'm not thinking that. So don't think, well, it's just starting. Well, you don't know when I'm going to end. But I could go on and on with all my pipes falling apart and everything else. But I will still preach the gospel. I'll be an embarrassment, but I'm going to preach the gospel.
We'll still be here.
Yeah. All right. So God is good, and God is great,
yes,
and greatly to be
praised.
Amen. I love y'all.